Amen. Is there any wonder why the Lord put such an emphasis on the subject of love? The great love he showed to us and exhorted us then to love one another. You know, his love can improve. Ours can. And since there's such an emphasis on that, then I would hope that we could think about that as we've already been exhorted here to remember that is the great commandment. And the second is where we come in. Appreciate what we've heard this morning. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, as Paul, I'm persuaded, Paul wrote Hebrews. Some folks are not persuaded of that, and that's okay if that's with me, but my persuasion is Paul wrote it. As the Spirit is blessing Paul to bring this to a close, and you know this book was written to encourage those who were under pressure to come back to Judaism, exhorting them and telling them how this is far better, the true way of Christ and what God had purposed from the beginning of the world, to follow that. He makes a statement. I'm going to read the verse, then we'll go back and get the context of it. But in verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The scoffers would say, well, now, wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus a baby? And then he grew up, and then he was a man. Isn't that a change? Well, if that's what he had under consideration, yeah. But what's under consideration, and if you'll just go back one verse, I mean, he gets it here, we have verse 8, and then he continues to elaborate on that, but in verse 7, we're told, remember them which have the rule over you. In other words, those that God had called to preach the gospel and to shepherd the flock. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Appreciated Brother Kenneth's emphasis on the word of God in the subject of the love. And what is focused on here is remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we understand what he's talking about here, we're understanding the doctrine of Christ. You know, Jesus was his name, okay? His name shall be called Jesus. Isn't that what the angel told both Joseph and Mary? The name shall be called Jesus. For, this is what it means. He shall save his people from their sins. So, the Lord told them what his name was going to be. But his office is Christ, the Redeemer, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one that God sent to do the work that needed to be done. So when you understand, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Isn't that what he said in John chapter 6? I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's the work he was sent to do. And it's not, you know, and it's so comprehensive that it embraces raising us up from the dead and taking us home to be with him in heaven. Wow. That's a powerful work. All right? So when we understand, when he says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he's talking about here is the doctrine of Christ, of the work that he was to come to do, and the truth that is to be preached about it. So when we understand that's why he came, that's what he came to accomplish, and that's what he did when he said it's finished on the cross. He said it's finished. He said in John 4:34, I believe it is, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Then in John 19:30, he said, it's finished. He did it. That work and what he came to do and how he fulfilled that, that had been purposed from before the foundation of the world. And that will never change. And so when he talks about how that those that have preached the word of God to you, okay, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, this faith, this truth, this body of truth that God has given us in his word, it's not going to change. It cannot change. Because it was truth when he spoke it. He's upholding it even today. And it'll always be true. I don't care how long this world remains. And sometimes I wonder how it has lasted this long. That God's long suffering is so long suffering. And his mercy is so merciful. That he would allow the things that are going on in this world to continue. But there is coming that day, isn't it? It's coming that day. And I'm going to tell you this truth of what he sent his son to do, what his son accomplished, bless your hearts, that will never change. When Paul wrote to Timothy and said, speaking of the Lord who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Bless your heart as we think about. This was God's purpose all along. And it was necessary that Jesus come as a baby, because when you begin to see what God has revealed to us in his word about this work that his son would do, right there in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3:15, we have the mention of the seed of the woman. Now wait a minute, that's contrary to nature. Seed is passed through the man. Okay? But he's giving us a glimpse right there. You know, now we see in part. Okay? But bless your hearts, that glimpse that he gives us there is that there's going to be a seed of a woman. And as you continue through the Old Testament, you'll find that that seed continues to be mentioned. The Lord told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Paul made a reference to that in the book of Galatians that pointed out the fact that when he talked about that seed, he wasn't talking about many, but one. And that seed is Christ. And so we find that God has been telling us and revealing to us details about this story of the work of the Redeemer all through time. That same message that has not changed and that will not change. Now in Hebrews, in the next verse 9, just a reference here, he says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, this message is not going to change. Now there'll be other messages preached, but it won't be the truth. And the truth is what we want, isn't it? Bless your hearts. I'm so thankful God has had mercy upon us to know his truth. That We've got good friends in this world, and they're God's people, and they're lovely people, and they have good works that they're doing. But some of them will lie down at night worried sick about whether or not somebody's going to be saved. Now, I understand there's a lot of things that the gospel can save us from. It can save us from ignorance. It can save us from waywardness. It can save us from a lot of things. But it doesn't save us for heaven. This work of Christ is what saved us eternally. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that work that he did, bless your heart, the work that was his to do, as that message unfolds throughout the Old Testament, as we begin to see other details in Isaiah 7:14, he tells us, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? If you've read your New Testament, it tells us God with us. That's how God chose for his son, for the word to be made flesh and to dwell among us. That he would be born into this world. But he wouldn't be born as a man. It was the seed of the woman, right? The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. All right? So he is the Son. He's the only begotten of the Father. The rest of us are adopted into the family. But he is the only begotten of the Father. He is God with us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the Word of God. When Genesis tells us, let us make man in our own image, you have the Trinity right there. He was there as the Word of God. John chapter 1, the gospel according to John, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Isaiah speaks of the virgin birth. Micah. Now, most of Christianity would go to Micah 5 and verse 2 because it tells us where Jesus was born. And that's one of the great details about the prophecies of Jesus. It tells us exactly where he was to be born. Even though Bethlehem, there was more than one Bethlehem in that part of the world, but it was Bethlehem Ephratah. And when Jesus was born, and when the wise men came saying, where is he, born king of the Jews? Herod called those wise, called his scribes and said, you know, where's he to be born? They told him Bethlehem. And they pointed to Micah, what we know as Micah 5 and 2. And I want to turn to that because there's more to Micah 5 and 2 than just the fact that he was born in Bethlehem. All right, Micah 5 and 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Remember that? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? King in Israel? All right, here he is. He shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Listen, this is where I'm after. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He's God. He's God. He was with the Father in the beginning. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so as we think about this doctrine of Christ and the teachings of the work of Christ and what he accomplished, it didn't evolve based on choices that men made. You know, it wasn't a plan B because Adam sinned and messed things up. God's purpose was already in place. God knew what he would do. And so we find, you know, I cringe when I hear that plan B thought being put forth. There's folks still talking about it. No, same yesterday, today, and forever. God's purpose clearly defined for us throughout the scriptures and working toward the end. Someday, this place is going to burn up. But before the end, he's going to gather up those that Christ died for to take us home to be with him forever. After we noticed in Micah, spoke about he whose goings forth have been of old, even from everlasting. And so in Matthew, we find a connection in Matthew chapter 1 with the birth of Christ, or with what was being told to Joseph. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It tells us there, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. That connects us to that prophecy back in Isaiah, doesn't it? It tells us. This is the same one. This is the seed of the woman, because he's virgin born. Okay, so when we think about how that God has been revealing his purpose, so this is greater than just talking about the man, Jesus, and the changes that he had to go through his life. No, we're talking about the purpose of God. We're talking about the doctrine, the truth of what God has done from before the foundation of the world, and that he will bring it to pass just like he said he would. Even the fact when Jesus was betrayed in the garden, in the book of Acts, Peter would say, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slain. They did what they wanted to Jesus. And I know the Bible, at times, it talks about he was slain and he was killed. But Jesus also told us, which agrees with how him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. If he hadn't been submissive to the will of God, there's no way they could have taken him. There's no way they could have arrested him. Okay? There were times that he just walked through the midst of them and couldn't even see it. But it was the will of God that he was accomplishing. Everything he said, everything he did, was what the Father gave him to say and gave him to do to fulfill his will perfectly. He said, I do always those things which please him. So, in Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection, when he's walking on that road to Emmaus, and he's speaking with those there, and you know, their eyes were holding that they couldn't see who he is. But he asked them several questions. I won't take time to go into that. But he eventually says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And he says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And if you've got a reference Bible, you've got a list about this long of references in the Old Testament that point to Christ. I tell you, I would have loved to have heard that story, sermon, wouldn't you? As he gave the account of so many, I don't know that he gave the account of all of them, but he certainly gave a lot of references. Or no doubt as he went through, as he was pointing out scriptures of the Old Testament that spoke of him. Even in John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They spoke of what he would accomplish when he came. And so we have those glimpses all through the Old Testament. So we see then that in the life of Jesus that he lived during his ministry here, there were many changes that he went through, but the whole time he was accomplishing the will of the Father, which had been purposed from the foundation of the world. That never changes. That never will change. Bless your hearts, he did it. He accomplished every bit of it. All along the way, even though he was a baby in the manger, even though he was a young child, 12 years old, we have some account of things that he did. Later on in his life, even though there were many changes that he went through as he grew, he was always the only begotten Son of the Father. He was always doing the will of God. He didn't always have the print of the nails in his hands, but he was always our Redeemer. So we think about, you know, John chapter 14, Philip said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. In other words, Jesus had been telling them he's going away. And sorrow had filled their hearts. Well, you can understand that, can't you? I mean, can you imagine? I've tried to just think about from time to time what it must have been like to follow Jesus around and to witness the miracles and to witness, to hear the words that he spoke and to see that nothing was too hard for him. Even if it came to raising the dead. I mean, you would be fearless in his presence, wouldn't you? I mean, he could do anything that was his will to do, that was the Father's will for him to do. Nothing, because he had all power, both in heaven and in earth. But then he begins to tell them he's going away. That would be concerning, wouldn't it? If you'd been in his presence and he could do all of that, and then all of a sudden he's not going to be here anymore. But he didn't stop there. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. John 14, I'll not leave you comfortless. And that word comfortless there means I'm not going to leave you like a bunch of orphans without somebody to take care of you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that comes alongside and renders aid when we need him. Oh, isn't it a blessing that we can call upon our God? You may not say an audible word. And isn't that amazing that God's given us that way to communicate with him? That we don't have to say an audible word. If they were to pass laws in this country that you can't pray in public, you can't do this, it won't stop you from praying. We can pray in spirit. And even if you don't have the words to express your feelings, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We don't have to express the words. He's touched with the pains of our heart. He's touched with the confusion of our mind. He's touched with the sorrows that we experience. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's talking about in the person of the Holy Spirit, which also is spoken of as the Spirit of Truth, which that same word in the original language also is advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is. So we have help. And that's the kind of help that God's people have had all along. Nothing has changed about the way God, Jesus came into the world and he went to the cross, suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. But God's love for his people has been there. The angel of his presence has gone with them. He has blessed us in so many ways all down through the history, the centuries of time. He's been with us. Bless your hearts, he's shown it to us in a fuller way. In the New Testament. The New Testament, the Old Testament revealed, right? So when we think about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, we know that God cannot change, right? Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord. By the way, that's the last book of the Old Testament. There's going to be 400 years of silence from the Lord and his prophets before the New Testament would be revealed and be pinned down and Jesus would come, John the Baptist would come. 400 years of silence. But in Malachi 3:6, he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. Well, he can't change, can he? You know, that's one of the things that God cannot do. He cannot change. I love to think about those things that God cannot do, because when you understand the things that he cannot do, you understand even that glorifies him. He cannot change. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? All these precious promises, all of his power. I mean, if he changed his holiness, and if anything changed, then he would cease to be perfect. He can't die. He's eternal. He can't lie. I really like that one, don't you? Because everything he said is true. He can't lie. And he can't deny himself. And he's made some precious, precious promises. And he cannot deny himself. He couldn't swear by any greater because he's the greatest. All of those things glorify him. So I'm so thankful that he cannot change. And since Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, he can't change either. Now, his body had to go through those changes in order for him to accomplish the will of the Father. But the eternal purpose of God and what he sent him to do and what he accomplished, bless your hearts, the truth of that will never, ever change. If you get to hearing these wind of doctrines that have this and that, you know, Paul warned Timothy about Hymenaeus and Philetus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said they were going about preaching the resurrection had passed and had overthrown the faith of some. Well, if we know the truth of God's word, then it'll save us from such, won't it? All right? So Hymenaeus and Philetus were preaching that the resurrection had passed and had overthrown the faith of some. But Paul said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He didn't stop there. He said, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do you love the Lord? Do you love your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you want to honor him with your life, with your choices, with whatever you do in this life? Well, like Brother Kenneth reminded us, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's okay to say, Lord, I love you, but let your actions be consistent with your words. And so, the truth doesn't change. The truth cannot change. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. His words are not. They cannot change because they were truth to begin with. So I got off on a tangent there with John 14. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Get it right. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? See, that's one of the greatest goals we can have in this life. If God has given us life and given us his spirit, given us spiritual faculties, the greatest endeavor we can pursue is knowing him better. Enjoying fellowship with him, walking with him, and searching his word, learning. You know, Peter concluded his second epistle by saying, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The truth of what he accomplished, the truth of who he is, the truth of what he has done for us, and how he completely satisfied the Father in this work. You know, I said a moment ago, he's always the Son of God. But he also, the voice from heaven that we heard not only in his baptism but also at the Mount of Transfiguration, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that second time he said, hear ye him. That's who we're to hear today. You know, the law was good. Moses was a faithful representative of that law. Elijah was faithful in representing the prophecy. But they faded away. And the Lord said, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So Jesus told Philip, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you and you've not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Wow. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. You want to know how God feels about something? Listen to Jesus. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did was an exact representation of the will of the Father. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth will not change. And when we understand what this word teaches us, we don't have to worry about some of the things that we hear folks preaching about what's coming ahead. As a matter of fact, I believe what brought this message on my heart was the fact that we may be, in this country, we may be facing some unprecedented changes. We may be. They may be slow, but that steamroller may have already started rolling. How's that make you feel? But listen, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's purpose cannot change. He sent his Son to accomplish that purpose, and he did it. And we're secure in it. And we don't have to fear. Now, we may face persecution. We may face some changes in the way that we want to publicly acknowledge our God. Hey, that's not new. There have been martyrs, many martyrs. There are martyrs in other countries today. Being faithful to Christ, being faithful to God, and having their lives taken from them. Well, if that happens, we'll just be in the presence of God a little sooner than we thought. Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, has secured our salvation. Our redemption is in his blood. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so as we make our way in this world, rejoice every day at what we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rejoice in his love. Rejoice in his mercy. Rejoice in redemption. Rejoice in the coming resurrection from the dead. Because it's going to be his voice that they'll hear, and all that are in the graves shall come forth at his voice. Hours coming now is when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. And bless your hearts, those that he died for will be divided like the sheep from the goats. And he shall say to his sheep on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God had purposed to save them from the very beginning. He sent his Son to do it. Jesus did it. We're safe in him. I don't know what we'll face in the days ahead. But don't get distracted from the truth of God's word. Don't let the distractions in this world cause you to lose your focus on the one that loved us, gave himself for us, who's coming back to get us and take us home to be with him forever. With all the redeemed family of God, without the loss of one. What a day that'll be. Until then, love God. Love one another. Show it by putting it into practice. Enjoy the blessings that we have in the Lord, the security that we have in him, the hope that we have in him, until such time that he comes again and that hope will no longer be needed. May God help us to remember Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God bless you, is our prayer.